Well, we started talking last week about praying for the lost. And like we said, it's just not all praying for the lost, but, you know, for lack of a better title, talking about praying for the lost or reaching the lost, if you want to say. Obviously, by lost, the people that don't know God, that haven't received Jesus as their Savior. And so we're going to review a little bit before we go on. But you know, the first thing we talked about, just the foundational thing, is that if people have not received Jesus as their Savior, that they are under the kingdom of Satan. You know, this whole thing, you look at epic stories that have been told since the beginning of time, probably since the beginning of man, but you know, you think of even old tales, think of the Greek mythology and stories that have been told in modern day movies and epics, this good versus evil clash and the kingdom of good and the kingdom of evil, and that there's a great leader on both sides and everything, and the battles that take place. It's like people have this concept of this grand battle going on and throughout the world. I mean, secular, just story after story, and they all have these similar threads. You know, think of modern science fiction movies. I can name a few, but you could think of stuff. And the way those things are set up, and there's people that are more, if you want to say, spiritual. You know, they'll be wizards, or they'll be, different types of people. I don't want to use, you know, words in any specific story. But they have such common elements. And why is that? It's because there is a reality and there is a real good versus evil battle going on, and there is a war being waged, and there are two kingdoms. And that's the reality. If people knew what the reality was and what is really going on, when you and I are walking around, people get bored with their lives. Oh, nothing's going on. In the spiritual realm, there is a mega war going on. Now, Jesus has already won the battle to set men free. But the kingdom of darkness doesn't want men to know that. And so what does the enemy do? He's a deceiver. He tries to deceive men and make them think, either dull their senses. I mean, even that. There are so many movies that talk about almost, or stories that are like an alternate reality of like what we think is not really what's real. And there's something else really going on if you knew the reality. That's all true. If people, it's like, you know, the saying, truth is stranger, many times stranger than fiction. If people knew what is really going on in the world, that what we see, feel, hear, touch is not all there is. That's what people, it's just, you know, just go through this life day by day, another dollar. And behind the scenes, there is this epic war and story going on. But Satan would not have people to know that. He'd want people, there is no devil. If he can convince people there's no devil, he can do what he wants, because it's not him. Is it what? People blame God for all kinds of things, because it's not the devil. We know there's no devil, there's no hell. It's the biggest lie ever told. So people are, there is a race to be saved. Mankind has been enslaved by the enemy. God made Adam, created Adam, and gave him authority. You have dominion. We're not going to review everything, but this just to touch on this. You have dominion over the whole world. Adam named all the animals. He had dominion over everything, and he bowed his knee and did what Satan would have him to do. Made him his Lord. Basically said, well, okay, you're saying this, and he went underneath him and gave that dominion to Satan, yielded to him, gave him place in the world. And the mankind has been enslaved and is today. You know what Jesus said in the Gospels? You are of your father, the devil. He was talking to the Pharisees, and you are of your father, the devil. We read several scriptures, maybe one or two, but the devil is the Lord, is the father over the human race. And Jesus had to come as a man. He came sinless, spotless, to redeem mankind and to make the payment and the sacrifice so that man could be set free. So we're dealing, that is the reality behind all this. When people are walking around, and they're lost, we say, or they're without Jesus, they are under the dominion of Satan. Satan can knock them around left and right. You have to know that when you're dealing with people that are not saved, even people that are saved. There is an enemy, and he can influence what goes on in this world, especially people that are completely yielded to him. You wonder why sometimes people, you're having trouble with certain people, and what just seems like, you know, they're coming after you. Well, the devil is out to stop you if you're a Christian. And if he has people that he can influence, he'll influence them, and they'll listen to him. They don't know it's the devil. If you told them they were being influenced by the devil, that probably wouldn't go over really well. I'm not, you know, we don't, people would look at you like you're nuts, but that is the case. A lot of the stuff that's being produced media-wise, you don't think the devil is influencing the creation of that stuff? Yes, he is. Those people are using their influence to forward the kingdom of the enemy, whether they know that's what they're doing or not. They are. So there is this is the reality behind the scenes, and the war is being waged for men's souls. And you and I are in the kingdom of God. We have believed on Jesus, been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and now it's our job. God has given to men the responsibility of preaching the good news, sharing with other people what Jesus actually did so that they can be translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And so we read some scriptures along those lines and went a little further. We're not going to go into all that detail, but I just want to read one. Let's go ahead and read that first scripture we read last week. Turn quickly to Acts 26. Verse 17, Acts 26, verse 17. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's recounting what God told him when Jesus, when he was converted, and what Jesus told him. In verse 17, he said, "I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you to open their eyes, in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." That's a good summary of what we're doing. What I just said, that the war is going on, and what are we to do? He says, "I send you to open their eyes." How many people's eyes, their senses are dulled? They don't believe. How many doctrines and teachings and false religions out there that are completely contrary to the gospel and are deceptions? Anywhere from "there is no God," period, to "well, there may be a God, but we don't care about him," to "this is really God," some other false God. You know, all the way to, "yeah, Jesus is God, but this is the way you are saved, not through his blood, but through your works." There are how many deceptions out there? All what? To blind people, to deceive them, to get them to believe anything but the truth. That will set them free. God does not care if you're religious. Did you know that? I mean, not God, Satan. Satan does not put a lot of stock if a person's really religious, if they're not, if they don't know the truth, and they're not walking the truth. In fact, many millions of people are very religious and going completely away from the true gospel and the truth. Satan isn't impressed with that, isn't impressed with their behavior. It might help them in their lives to avoid certain things, but if they're not living according to the true gospel, they're deceived. They're not in relationship with God, and they're blinded. So what did he say? To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan. people that are not saved are under the power of Satan. Now, Satan is the god of this world, and he will try to do certain things. He'll try to, the Bible says, you know, the wiles of the devil. He'll try to create havoc in your life, but you're not under his power. We've been delivered from his power. There's a huge difference. But people that are lost are under his power. You can knock them around. Left and right. But we who are saved are not under his power. He's been defeated. But he tries to roar like he still has us under his power. It says, and from the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, to open their eyes that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me, basically to come over and take part with the family of God. That's what every one of us has the responsibility to do. And so how do we do that? If we know they're under the power of Satan, if we know that it is mankind, if it's us, the children of God, who are given the responsibility to open their eyes, what do we do? How do we do that? How do we reach the lost person? And we read several more scriptures along the lines that we just read about Satan be the god of this world and that people are under the power of darkness. We're not going to go there. And we got to, let's go over to 1 Peter 1:22. I just want to skim over some of these things. 1 Peter 1:22. 1 Peter 1, verse 22 says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So we've been born again through what? Through a seed, which is what? The word of God, which lives and abides forever. We've been born again, translated through the word of God. That's the seed. That's what's grown. That's what's transformed us from the power of darkness and the power of light. It was sown into our hearts. We heard it from somebody. We read it. Somehow it came into our consciousness. Faith came. We acted on that faith. And when we acted on the faith and believed that Jesus was the Son of God, that he has died for our sins, and that by believing on him, we can receive forgiveness of sins and be recreated, born again. When we believed that, acted on it, it happened, and we were translated from the power of darkness for the power of darkness into the kingdom of light. And so we are in the family of God now. That's how it happens for everybody. So how are people going to change? How are they going to become into the family of light? Through the Word. The Word has to go forth somehow. That's the thing that's going to cut through the deception, cut through the fog that has blinded them, and help them to see the truth so that they can act on it and be translated. That's the bottom line, that people are going to be born again and become children of God through the Word. We're not going to turn over there, but Romans 10, 13 through 17 talks about this, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call then if they haven't heard? And how shall they believe? I mean, I might as well read it. I can't quote it. Go ahead and turn over there. We'll read it quick. We're not going to go into it. Romans 10, 13. Romans 10, 13. It says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how are people going to believe if they haven't heard? And how are they going to hear if somebody hasn't told them? How is somebody going to tell them if they haven't been sent to tell them? Well, we've been sent. We've been made ambassadors, but somebody has to tell. Somebody has to be the person that shares the word so that it can go forth, so that it can change men's lives. Let's turn over to Mark 16. We quoted this last week, but let's turn over to Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 15. This is Jesus speaking, and he said, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. But notice verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So he gave that responsibility to us to go and preach the gospel so that those who act on it will be saved. Those who don't will be condemned. The people that act on it and say, yes, that's true, I believe it, they are translated, recreated, born again, and put into the family of God and out from under the power of Satan. And so that's the bottom line that we need to do. So we're talking about reaching them. Of course, we need to be, if that's what Jesus said, we need to be willing to be the person that speaks that truth in other people's lives. Number one. We're going to talk about prayer some too, but I guess one thing that people get the idea sometimes, I'm just going to pray for the lost and pray for the lost and pray for the lost, and that's just my job is to pray. Prayer's good, but we don't want to use it as a cop-out to share the gospel with people. And bottom line, we have to be willing to share with people. All of us. There is a place to pray for people. But praying without being willing to act on that and to share is a cop-out in many cases. People don't, people say, well, I just called to pray. That's all I do. Well, you know, if you're not out there actually affecting your world, I don't think that's quite as balanced as what you see in the Word of God. They were out there preaching the Word. Yes, they prayed, but they actually did something and talked to people as well. That's not, it's just that there's this sense, well, all we have to do is pray. No, it's not all we have to do. Somebody has got to say the words and somebody has to pray at some point. So we read in Matthew, let's turn over to Matthew 9, verse 35. Matthew 9, verse 35. So this is where we read this, and that's kind of just where we stopped last week. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest and to send out laborers into his harvest. Pray the Lord, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. But notice, this is before the Great Commission. God told us to go out and do this. Now, like we said last week, we can't be in all places at once. And so we can still pray that God would send laborers across a person's path. God, and I've done that many times, and I do that. Send laborers across this person's path. Minister to the gospel. Lord, help them to send somebody to pray or to minister the gospel to them in such a way that they'll understand it, in a way that they'll understand it. Whatever you need to use. You know, people can see it. People have gotten born again, you know, flipping through the channels and seeing Billy Graham on there or Kenneth Copeland, or, you know, and they become saved. Or a book, or a track, or a flyer, or a relationship, whatever. See, that gives God authority to move. But somebody has to move. Somebody has to be the one that says, yes, I'll do that. I mean, we can pray, but somebody, on the other hand, has got to pick it up and do something. You know, Billy Graham had to answer the call and put those things on TV so somebody could see it. It didn't just happen. The word had to go forth. And if we're praying for some neighbor, well, somebody's going to have to reach them. And so sometimes that's us. Sometimes maybe that person's got a family member that's halfway across the world or whatever, and they're praying, and God's prompting you to talk to them. Sometimes we're praying for a family member that's halfway across the world because we're not there, we don't have the inroad into their life or something, and somebody else needs to step up, and God's speaking to that person and prompting them. But see, it goes both ways. But for us just to, well, I'm just going to pray all the time, but I think there's a, that in some sense, that's a way to back off and not do what God has given us to do. I'm not saying that to condemn any of us. I think all of us deal with that, because in this day and age, Christians are made to look like fools by so many outlets and so many sources that are trying, that are influenced by who? The God of this world. And that is a tactic to shut the mouths of Christians, the very thing that will destroy his power. So what is the tactic? Make it look like they're a bunch of fools. Make it look like they're an idiot. Make it look like if you open your mouth and say something about Jesus, that's just a cliche, and that's just some ignorant fool, and put that into the media, and put that in the mainstream, and put that into the minds of men, so when they see the truth coming, they say, oh, I don't want anything to do with you. That's a tactic by the God of this world to shut Christians' mouths and make them feel like they are going to be rejected if they share the gospel. Now, the Bible says, those that live godly shall suffer persecution. I'm not saying that we're not going to be persecuted. We will. What I'm saying is, say something and then be persecuted. Don't shut up because you're afraid of being persecuted. Because how is anybody ever going to get saved that way? That's the tactic of the enemy, to shut us up. And so some people that have given into that, and I'm not judging anybody, but I'm saying it's easy to go down this world, I believe. It's easier sometimes to shut yourself up and saying, well, I'll be the one praying. Because I don't want to be the one saying anything. Is that not, I mean, sometimes that's easier to do. Well, I'll just be the one behind the scenes. Well, what if there's somebody you know that nobody else knows? You got to be willing, I mean, or a person to step up. And I'm saying it's a tactic of the devil to shut us up and to shut down the means that God has to save people. It's through the word. And so we want to pray where prayer is appropriate, but at the same time be sensitive to God. And if it's us that needs to say something to somebody or to build a relationship with somebody, so that we have the authority and the inroad into their life, then we need to act on that. And I'm not saying that there is a time, I mean, obviously the Apostle Paul, he went around just declaring the Word of God, and there was, you know, different ways he did that. You know, with the Greeks, they were all into thinking, so he had a perfect platform to go in and say, well, hey, I know the God that you don't know, and they were all ears. So there's a time and a place to do those things, and I'm not against it. If God calls you to go into the middle of the street and it's God, well, then do it. But I'm saying the culture, because of all these things that we've said, what the enemy's done through the media and so forth has made it so that, you know, you're going against the grain pretty hard, and it better be God, or else all the odds are against you that people are going to dismiss you, not even listen to what you have to say, and it's just going to reinforce their preconceptions, what they've been fed, the lies they've been fed. We do live in a different age, and we have to be sensitive to what culturally, what people can receive. Because the point is to get them to receive, not so that we can salve our conscience. Well, I'm trying. Well, yeah, but you know, I can just go fishing down and just say, well, I'm going to, you know, put on this bait and throw it in here, and I'm trying. Yeah, but if I'm fishing for a certain type of fish and that's not what they eat and I'm in the wrong area and it's the wrong time of the year, but I'm saying I'm trying, I'm probably not going to catch any fish. And I may make myself feel good by saying I'm trying, but you know what? The bottom line is I want to catch fish. So if I knew what type of bait they actually took, what do they take in their natural habitat, did it at the right time, did it at the right time of day, you know, you're doing it at noontime and they're not even there because they're sleeping because the sun's out and they're away hiding. It doesn't, my point is we want to be wise and use the wisdom that we would use going fishing. Jesus did said we're fishers of men. Use that same wisdom when we're trying to reach men, knowing that our enemy is cunning, he's deceptive, he's going to do everything he can to get them blinded, so we should do everything we can to get the truth to them. And just to be willing and bold to be that person that if God tells us, you know, to speak to them, then we have the boldness and we have the avenue to speak. And that just comes down to being led by God, which we're not going to go into today, but we've talked about before, being led by your spirit. And in a nutshell, if you feel pushed, oh, I got to do this, I got to do this, it's probably not God. God does not push you. He leads you. He's out front saying, yeah, here, yeah, do that. Now, I'm not saying it'll be always comfortable, but he's not going to push. The devil will push. The devil will get behind you and push you. And you'll feel like, well, I got to say something. And then that's usually the time that you say something that's completely off base and it doesn't work at all. Why? Because the devil's like, well, if I can't shut this person up, I'm going to get them to blare it out when it's going to do the most possible damage. That's now. Do it, do it, do it, do it. And you just set everything back. That's not the way God did it. Jesus did it. So we just want to be sensitive. So we can be the person. So we've talked about we can pray labors across people's paths. What are some other things that we can pray then? So somebody else may be, if we're praying for laborers, somebody else may be the vessel. Well, let's talk about then if we're praying for somebody specific that would be in that situation. Let's say you're praying for somebody that is across the country and you've prayed that labors go across the path and people are talking to them. What are some other things we can do in that situation? Or if we're the ones that are talking to somebody, some other things we can pray. Let's turn over to John 16:5. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, the Helper. And when he has come, he will, this is describing what is the Holy Spirit's job description. What is some of his function? And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And then he says what he means. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Not going to go into this now, but he said he's going to convict the world of sin. Of every little sin you commit? No, the sin of not believing on Jesus. He's going to go and prompt men that you are missing it, convict them of the fact that you need a Savior and you need to believe on God. This is not saying that the Holy Spirit is there to remind you of everything that you do wrong. Doesn't say that. He just said what he meant by sin. Of sin, in other words, if you think it's the Holy Spirit beating you up all the time for sin, that's not his function. He's the comforter. And I'll say that, you can see it here. He's not the one. He's there to convict men that they need Jesus. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. To convict the world of righteousness, if you've believed on Jesus, the Holy Spirit's there to remind you, you're righteous, you're righteous, you're righteous. You've believed on Jesus. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth,
has come. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now skip back a few chapters to John 14:26. On the previous page in my Bible. John 14:26. John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, so we read the function of the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. He is there to convict people of their need for Jesus and to lead them into all truth. Now, he's our helper. He's our companion in life. He's going to help us, lead us, guide us. But he is also the one that draws men to God. He's the one that's saying, yes, this is right. Yet, if the word goes forth, he's the one that's saying, that's the truth. That's the truth. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. Now, men can squash that, but Holy Spirit's there to say, you need that. That guy's telling the truth. He's telling the truth. That's what he's convicting them of sin. What? Their sin is not knowing Jesus. Jesus is God. He is there to bear witness to Jesus. And he's going to say, no, you need a Savior. You need a Savior. So if that word's gone forth and somebody has been exposed, let's say you said something to somebody, you mentioned the gospel, or you gave them a tract, or you know that they were recently came across the gospel, you know, somebody else preached or whatever. The Holy Spirit's drawing that person. That's going to be his function. So you can just, I mean, you just thank God that the Holy Spirit is doing what he's doing. But you can pray this. I believe this obviously applies to Christians, and he's talking to the disciples here. In verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. He will bring to remembrance the Word. And I've seen this with people. God, you can pray, God, bring to that person's mind the Word that they've heard. Because the Word has gone forth. Yes, that applies to Christians, but it's bringing back the Word. It's bringing back the Word. God, bring to that person's mind the Word. Remind them. I've talked to people. You know, but I was talking to them, and all of a sudden they go, yeah, now that you say something, I remember when I was growing up, and we were memorizing scriptures, and yeah, there was this and that, and it's just like the light's going on. All of a sudden, these things that have been buried, but it's coming back. It's in there. Somebody was preaching the Word to them, and they didn't even realize that was going on, but you're talking to them, and it's coming back. How many things have people heard? So we can pray for them. God, bring to their remembrance the Word that they've heard. Because you know that's what the Holy Spirit's doing. That's his job, to bring them to Jesus. That's part of bringing them to Jesus. Bring the Word is how they're going to be born again. So God, bring that back to them. Show them. Guide, help them. Because that's what the Holy Spirit's doing. And you're just praying right in line with what the Holy Spirit's job description already is. Number one, they need to hear the Word. If they've heard the Word, it just needs to get in. It just needs to stay there, stay in front of their minds, because Jesus, God, or the Holy Spirit's drawing them. Another thing that we can do along with this, and I'm not going to go into this and go into the scriptures about speaking in tongues, but you can just pray in tongues. And what is praying in tongues? You're praying the perfect will of God. You don't know all when all needs to be happened, but basically you are leading yourself, you are yielding yourself to God Almighty. And he's praying through you. And so he knows what needs to be done. He knows what needs to happen in that situation. He knows what needs exact. He knows the root. He knows maybe what has happened in that person's path or background. He knows what they're dealing with, what things are coming against them. And when this is why praying in tongues is so powerful, and why it has been again come against. The enemy knows how powerful it is. So what has he done? Tried to discourage it. Tried to make it look weird. Tried to get people to stop doing it, because it's an ultimate weapon. Because when we pray in tongues, we are yielding to God, who knows everything, And we're letting Him pray through us so that the perfect will of God is going forth. Because like it says over in Romans that, you know, the Spirit helps our infirmities because we don't always know how to pray as we ought. I believe that's like Romans 8, 26, 27, somewhere around there. We don't know how to pray. Maybe you don't know exactly what this person needs. You know somebody's yielding. Pray in the Spirit for them. Spend some time praying in tongues for them. That's that you're yielding your authority and your place as a human being in this earth to God Almighty to bring His influence to another person. They can reject it, but you're putting the platform there. And that's powerful. But really, it comes down to the Word of God going forth. That Word being watered and coming back. And of course, if people still keep coming by and still reminding, different things coming, the Word going forth, the Word going forth, the Word going forth, the Word that they've heard coming back, the Holy Spirit drawing, you praying in tongues so that things that you don't know how to pray, you pray that way. It comes down to the Word, them acting on the Word. That's it in a nutshell. You know, I'm not even going to go into certain things, but if we focus on stuff that really isn't related to the core issue, which is the Word transforming their life, it's a side issue. That's all we want is for the Word to go forth and people have to accept or reject it. Now, men can drag their feet. They can try to hold up. Every man has a free will. You cannot pray that somebody's just going to get born again like that and make it happen because that would be overriding their free will. We can't do that. But we can pray for the Word to go forth, the Word that they've heard to have maximum effect. And when we don't know what we need to do, to pray in tongues. And one more thing, then let's turn over to Ephesians 6, verse 17. It says, and take the helmet of salvation. You know, he's talking about here, talking about spiritual things that are actually going. Just look at verse 12, and we'll skip back up to where we are, but just read this verse since we're here. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Actually, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Your problem is not the person that you're seeing. It's not the person. There is a spiritual element. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And then he goes on to talk about the armor, which we're not talking about today. But deal with the things that are behind the scenes. Know that the person that they're saying, well, I just don't want this. And, you know, they may be quoting you stuff they've heard in the media and whatever. Just know they're parroting stuff that they've been brainwashed with. Know that the Word's the only thing that's going to change that. So verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, includes you praying in tongues, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So, when we just one thing, you know, finishing things up, we can pray this for ourselves. Because sometimes we don't feel bold about sharing the gospel. And that's a tactic of the devil. So how, if Paul, he's saying, pray this for me. Paul is saying this. This is a good prayer that we can pray for ourselves. He says, and for me. So you can write this for yourself and say it this way. It says, that utterance may be given to me. He's saying for Paul, so you can say it for me. You can personalize it for yourself. Say that So this is you praying for yourself. Lord God, I pray that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. We read that. It's not just Paul read that over in, I think it's 2 Corinthians, that you're an ambassador. For which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So in the places where we need to step up, and it's us, we can pray this so that we're bold, so that we, God does something in us, so that we're able to share the mystery of the gospel. And I know this isn't, I mean, in essence, this is pretty simple, but this is how we evangelize our world. We're not really talking about evangelism in one sense, but in a sense we are. We're talking about reaching people and about how these different elements go together. Thank God. I don't think God made it really hard, but we do have an enemy that is trying to shut the Word of God down. But the Word of God is going forth. And that's what will change men. And that's what will change areas when people turn towards the Word. Because when an area, people start turning towards the Word, things change. We can see it in reverse right now in this country. If people are starting to turn away from the Word, what's happening to the area and what's happening to the country? Stuff gets less godly. Well, if it can get less godly, it can get more godly. What does it take? It's not politics and it's not all that stuff. You cannot force men to do certain things. It's got to be a heart change. When people start looking back to God and start living for God, circumstances change. Policies change. Everything changes. It can go back. It's just men yielding themselves to God. Thank you, Lord.